If you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah chapter number 6. And we are continuing in our series of great questions in the Word of God. And I've been excited about it. I hope you have. And I have some more of them. I'll preach some next week and the week after. And I didn't realize how many I would end up with. I may end up with 50 of them before it's over. I don't know. But it is good to be here tonight. Now, if you're listening online, you can be a part of the service right now. I want you to do something for me. Hit the share button so your friends can hear this. I think I'm preaching a message tonight that will be a help to you, your friends, your neighbors. And also, I want you to participate in the song that we just sang and when Chad did the song about when you got saved. Why don't some of you put on the our post the day you got saved and give God a little credit, amen? And we miss you. Hope to see you soon in church. Isaiah chapter number 6, if you're there, say amen. I believe this will be a help tonight. And I want to look at the first paragraph, the first 8 verses, if we could, and then bring a thought to you tonight. We'll see the question in verse number 8, and then we'll also have a subject with this passage. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. I like to say it like that, high and lifted up. How many of you think God gets pleasure about us lifting up him and lifting up his son? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 7 wings with twain. He covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Boy, I like to see it. I like it like that when the church kind of, it gets so thick in here. Somebody say amen. And worship starts picking up. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to worship more. We need to praise more. We need to lift him up more. Hallelujah. I sense some preach coming on me. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Here's our question for tonight. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I like that right there. Then said I, here am I, send me. Our Father, I ask you to help me tonight as I preach this passage. I'm thrilled to preach it. I want to sense what Isaiah sensed. I want to be so refocused on you and see you and not some earthly king. But Lord, lift you up tonight and help us as we preach. There's folks that will be listening online. There'll be folks in other countries. There'll be folks throughout this country that's been listening to this service need what I'll preach tonight. And I pray, God, that I'll be able to deliver the message with power and authority and with clarity. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Let me give you the context, if I might, tonight. In verse number 1, it mentions the death of King Uzziah. You that study the word of God and the kings, you know that he was the 10th king in the line of Judah. He was a godly man, and for most of his tenure, he was a godly man and worshiped God. He was influenced by Zechariah the prophet. Zechariah the prophet preached to him. Zechariah the prophet discipled him. And he never totally ever left the worship of God. But it was under his influence that this southern kingdom thrived, and it attained power and prosperity and even popularity. And it was in the days of Solomon, and he was a successful king. But here's what happened. Now, even successful people and godly people can make mistakes. And what he did to end his reign was this. He offered incense in the temple, which was not his job or his authority. And you know what the Bible said? God struck him down with leprosy. And when he got that leprosy, he died. He had reigned there for 52 years. Can you imagine now? Remember this. Now, Isaiah is his cupbearer. Isaiah is his confidant. Isaiah had been trusting in Uzziah for all those years of his reign. And I want to say this to you. May I say it like this? Uzziah was Isaiah's comfort zone. You with me? And sometimes, help me now, we get in a comfort zone and then we forget to look to God. And God has to take our comfort zone away, take our Uzziah away, upset the apple cart, that we might look to him. And tonight's message is this. What we need in down times, I'll tell you what happened. This experience clobbered Isaiah. He was flabbergasted. Hey, listen. His person that was providing the bread for his life died. The guy that had been helping him all along died. Somebody help me now. And I want you to know, he got down in a time of need. But I'll tell you what happened when God allowed Uzziah to die. It was when Isaiah then refocused himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what we need tonight. More than anything, we need to get our eyes back on God. We need a renewal in this country. We need revival in this country. I'm not looking for Donald Trump as my way out. I'm not looking for Joe Biden as my way out. I'm looking for the King, for my eyes have seen the King, and we need the King. We don't need an earthly King. We need a heavenly King. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to preach on tonight what we need in down times. Have you ever been down? Have you ever had something you was depending on and it taken away? Maybe it was a husband. Maybe it was a wayward child, but something that just absolutely floored you. Maybe it was a circumstance. Maybe you were living in a seemingly comfortable, and then everything, one doctor visit, one call, and you hit bottom. I'm going to give you three things that we need in down times. 3, and I'll be done. First of all, verses 1 through 4, we need to see what Isaiah saw. See, in the year the king Uzziah died, look what it says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Praise God. Amen. See, he, come on, I'm going to preach something. He never could see God as long as he was seeing Uzziah. And whatever your Uzziah is, you'll never see God till that Uzziah is taken out of the way and you lift your eyes back up and see God. Amen. Amen. I know it's Chad's life verse. Isn't it, Chad? I remember when you got called to preach. Chad went to state college. He got him a degree. He probably regrets that. It has helped him. He had a degree in communications, and he communicates well. But I want you to know something. Chad didn't mean a lot, did it? I remember when you was a young boy, thinner, with more hair, in flip-flops, coming to my office and searching, wanting to find a place, wanting to serve. There was a church that had offered him to come down there, and he asked me my opinion. You shouldn't ask me that if you don't want to know. And I told him, absolutely not. I'd just soon go to hell than I would that place. Not really, but I'm just kind of magnifying it. I said, I wouldn't go there for nothing. I said, they're liberal, they're contemporary, and you don't need it. Amen. And was I right? Thank you. But I tell you what happened to Chad. Chad started getting serious. And I remember C.T. Townsend came for revival up there on the top of the hill. And God started moving that revival. And I saw that young man melt. See, his comfort zone was gone. He couldn't depend on his education anymore. He couldn't depend on everything else anymore. But it was in that moment, that great preacher that we had as assistant pastor bowed down his knees and looked up to God and said, God, my Uzziah's gone. My comfort zone's gone. I asked you to help me. And it was there that Chad got his call. It was there that Chad heard the voice of God. I say to you, sometimes we need to be moved out of our comfort zone to see the mighty hand of God. First one, he saw God's position. So I'm on the throne. Now I want you to know God's position this morning or this evening. God's sovereign. I don't think y'all heard it. An earthly king may die, but your heavenly king can't die. See, the things that we depend on will perish and will die, but thank God, God lives on. And when Uzziah died, Isaiah lost control until he looked up and saw him that's in all control. Amen. You know, a lot of us were in the election year. I dread it. I'll see the worst of people. Don't some of y'all act ignorant. Will you please don't? Amen. I tell you what we need to look for. We need to look to Christ. Now, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for somebody I don't even want to vote for. Amen. My God just bowed out today. Okay. My Uzziah left. I said, man, he's good. He's the man. He ain't the man. He done bowed out. And that little girl that's up there running against Trump, she might as well bow out too. She ain't going to win either. But I want to tell you something. My hope's not built on Donald Trump. My hope's not built on Joe Biden. Dear God Almighty, he should not even be left alone by himself. And they don't really. The Holy Spirit's his wife, and she carries him around all the time. We wouldn't make it. Somebody help me preach. I'm preaching right. Some of you say, don't get political. I'm not getting political. I'm just stating facts. You can't put your hope in them. Amen. Listen to me. This country's been rocking and reeling the last 4 or 5 years. Why? Because of poor leadership. Because we got away from God. We need to get back to God. We need to look at him again. We need to see him high. Amen. See God's position. Verse 2 and 3. See God's personality. Now, I'm going to say something about our politicians. Most of them's corrupt. See, but these angelic beings, Uzziah was a good guy and a good king, but I want you to know Uzziah wasn't God, because you couldn't say holy, holy, holy about Uzziah. You can't say that about a political leader, but I got a God. I got a God that strives holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Amen. Yeah. By the way, it wasn't about Uzziah and Isaiah anyway. It was about God. See, I want you to be careful not to assume the place that belongs to him alone. You might say, boy, my life's in control. Everything's going good. I got it. I got you. Listen to me. You start bragging like that, and everything's going to get knocked out from under you. Because you ain't got nothing without God. You ain't got peace without God. You ain't got hope without God. You ain't got help without God. You ain't got mercy without God. You ain't got guidance without God. We need God. You be well tonight not to turn your back on God. It'll be good for you tonight as a mom, dad, grandpa, grandma to get your eyes back on him. Amen. Then thirdly, in verse 4, he saw God's presence. The house was filled with smoke. That's a symbol of the presence of God. Amen. I tell you what we need. And the Bible said his train filled the temple. Uzziah was gone, but God can't leave. God's, how many likes this verse? I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go all the way with you. I got a God that's present. You said he can't be in my mess. I'm going through trouble. I'm an emotional wreck. My life seems upside down. I want you to know in the shadows there's Jesus. He's right there for you. He always has been. You need to get your eyes off of the earthly kings and the earthly help and put your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Secondly, let me move. Hallelujah. Y'all all right? First of all, we need to see what Isaiah saw. But secondly, in verses 5 through 7, look at those verses. After he saw what he saw, he said this: woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'll tell you what he sensed. I'll tell you what we need. We need to sense what Isaiah sensed. I'll tell you what he sensed. He sensed what I call Holy Ghost conviction. You know what I watch? I look out and I wonder, what's happened to our people? Why aren't we convicted anymore? We've got our eyes on so many earthly things.
Yes, sir.
That we don't see how much of a mess we are. I'll tell you what he sensed. First of all, he sensed his own condition. He didn't say, woe's my neighbor. I really get tired. I really get tired of hearing about somebody on Facebook or somebody challenging somebody on Facebook and say, woe is my neighbor. That's all you hear. Woe's my neighbor. Woe is this and woe is that person. He didn't say that. I tell you, you ever see God, you ain't going to say, woe's my neighbor. You're going to say, woe's me. You know what we need? I know we don't preach this much. We need to get back some holiness in our life. We've lost it. We're about the most unholy generation of Christians in the world. There's so much junk going on in the Christian realm that it is sad and sickening. Amen. You don't know what's going on in the secret place of most people's lives. You know what he sees? Man, I'm sinful. And I dwell with other, my lips are sinful. And everybody around me's lips are sinful. Amen. You know what we need to do? What about one time in church, let's just all come clean and say how wicked we are and how much we need to see the King. Just repent. Just say, I'm sorry. How many marriages would be saved if somebody would have said they were sorry? How many lives, how many churches wouldn't have split if somebody would have said, I'm sorry? How much would our government be better if somebody would have some accountability? In verse 6 and 7, not only did he sense his own condition, I like this. He sensed his own cleansing. Look at it. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. There's nothing better than getting clean with God. Let me give you a verse. If we confess our sin with me, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to get close to God. Because the closer we are, we'll see how bad we really are. I tell you, my New Year's resolution, it wasn't a big one. It wasn't much of a resolution, it was just a vow. I said, God, I've been doing this for 50 years. And by the grace of God, I've been able to stay at a high level, and I don't understand how. But I tell you what, I've done it the first this year as your preacher. I said, God, I want to get so close to you that when the people of the church see me, I won't have to tell them I'm close. I won't have to tell them my messages are powerful. I won't have to tell them anything. They'll know it because they'll sense the sweet Holy Ghost. That's what we need. I tell you what's happened is we try to stay as far away from God as we can to get away with it. I think we ought to turn it over and do this. And stay as close to God as we can to see if we can stand it. I mean, just see how much he can bless us. Just see how much power he can put in us. See how much joy. See, them tongs represented the blood of Christ. I'm glad we're clean through the blood. Once and for all. Am I preaching? I'll close. Thirdly, man, I tell you this. I hope it's helping you. Because we need to sense what Isaiah sensed. Do you have any secret sins? Is there something you're doing in private that you wouldn't do in public? I'll tell you what, you get close to God, you'll get rid of it. You'll stop. Amen. Then number 3 in verse 8, and I'm done. Not only do we need to see what Isaiah saw, in verses 5 through 7, we need to sense what Isaiah sensed, but this is the most important. And this is the message and the question. We need to say what Isaiah said. Look at the verse, and I'll close. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now write that word us down. He said, I send, then he said us. Guess what? God's a Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These three are one. The Jesus-only crowd, they're crazy. Amen. The Unitarians they flipped. God's a triune being. Did y'all see that? Then said I, here am I. Send me. I'll tell you what Isaiah said. I'm available. You know, I'm going to be a little straight, but I hope I can do it in a diplomatic way as I can. Some of us think too much of ourselves.
You're right.
Oh, you know, I'll be available if it's a big crowd on Sunday morning. I'll be available if it's where people can see me. And with Isaiah, he was all by himself. He said, here am I. And I want you to know, and sometimes we confuse terms, but there's a lot of people. They got talent to sing. They got talent to preach. And they got talent to teach. And they got talent this way and talent that way. But what good is their talent and your talent if you're not available to use it? Saddens me. I know people with so much potential to help the worship in this church, but I never know when they're going to be here. They're just not available. They're not bad people, just not available. You know what they need? They need to see what Isaiah saw. They need to sense what Isaiah sensed, and then they'll say, here am I. Send me. By the way, you know what? This wasn't the first time that's mentioned. The first time it was mentioned is mentioned to Abraham. When God told him to go to Mount Moriah, and what God told him, he said, Abraham, Abraham. You know what Abraham's response was? Here am I. What was God's ultimatum to Abraham? Go sacrifice your son. I tell you, we need a here am I of sacrifice. You know what I see today? There's not many people who want to sacrifice. It's, you know, I said it today at lunch. We just got an entitlement society. Everybody thinks they're entitled to something. I want you to know something. This preacher, I didn't get entitled. You know where I started? I started at a church with 18 people, and it grew to 108. I started at another church that had been split, and the church burned down and grew it back to 125 and rebuilt the building. I went to a church that was split before I ever came here. You know something? I didn't seem entitled. I'm not entitled now. I just want to serve God. That's not the... Then God said to Jacob, 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 remember? And Jacob said, here am I. You know what God said to him? Not sacrifice, submit. There's sometime you're going to have to submit to God and say, hey, I need to commit myself all over. That wasn't the only time. How about Moses? Out of the burning bush, God said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. That's a here am I surrender. I tell you what we need to do. You know what some people in this church need to do on this Sunday night? Let's come around this altar and say, God, I surrender all. Amen? Amen. And then how about Samuel? You remember? Andrew, you remember him? The Bible said the Lord went to him and spoke to him. And he thought Eli had spoke to him. But then when he said, Samuel, here's what Samuel said. Here am I. I'm ready to serve you. But I won't give you this one and I'm done. But Isaiah was saying, here am I. I'm ready to step up. I'm available. I agree with you, God. You know what we need? Please listen to this last part. I'm done. Lois, would you go, please? I'm finished. You know what we need? We need a bunch of husbands in this room tonight and daddies to get out of this, your pew, and step up for your family. We need some grandparents would say, you know, my grandkids are struggling. I want to step up for them. We need some wives, some women in this room who say, you know what? I need to step up. I need to hold my husband up in prayer. And I need to help train these children while he's going at work. What we need? We need some young preachers. And fellas, listen to me. And I'm being honest with you tonight. You all can preach. You all can. But I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to step up. Say, God, here I am. I don't know what field you're going to send me to. I don't know what the will of God is in my life, but I'm willing to get down on this altar and say, here I am. Amen. You think it's worth stepping up? And by the way, we need to step up for this church and say, you know what? It ain't perfect. I'm here. It ain't perfect. But I'm going to tell you what, it's better than most. And it's doing more than most. And it's preaching the word of God. And we need to step up. We'll get this building built because we stepped up. We'll get another one built and more people won to Christ because we step up. I just wonder, what he done? He said, I'm available. Then he said, God, I agree with you. I need to step up. Stand with me tonight. I wonder how many people in this room you need to step up maybe for a wayward child. Step up for your family. Pray tonight. You just come around this altar. You ought not to have to plead tonight. Will you come? Stand, everybody. Lois, our Father, right now, God, help us to step up. Lord, we need people to flood the altar tonight. Grandparents, moms, dads, boys, girls, and step up. In Jesus' name, amen.